Good morning, everybody. First thing I wanted to do is just reacquaint you with ourselves and our story, how God led us into Japan. So my name is Ben, and I'm from this church, grew up in this church. Some of you are my Sunday school teachers, and that was a long time ago. But God has used this church and the people in this church to lead me to where I am today, and I'm thankful for that. This is my wife, Kumiko. She didn't grow up around here. She grew up on the other side of the world. And this morning, she's going to share a little bit about her story, how she was influenced and changed by the message of the gospel brought by missionaries from Sweden by way of China, by way of Chattanooga, Tennessee, finally in Japan. But one thing I want to share with you this morning is that God leads us step by step. We can never expect to be in the place that we might be in 10 years, 20 years, but as God leads us to be faithful each day, provides us with challenges and opportunities, He uses that in our life to form us and to make us into the people that He wants us to be and for the place that He'll call us to in the future. So I want to encourage you to just take those steps of faith and do what's in front of you and be faithful in that, and you never know where God might lead you. But you see my kids there, they're sitting there, Arata and Jin and Satoru. They're joining us this morning, but my wife and I grew up on different sides of the world, but we met in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when we both went to Bible college there. And I had always had a heart for missions, especially in East Asia. And through meeting my friends there at the university, I had opportunity to spend the summer in Japan. And actually, the place where I spent my first summer in Japan is the place where I am now. And God used that in my life and my heart to call me to work in missions in Japan. And my wife attended the preschool of the church where we're working at now, where we're involved in, and she'll share more about that. But through that process, she came to faith in Christ, and she'll share a little bit more about that. After being called to serve the Lord in Japan, we thought we should probably have a little more Bible training, so we attended seminary at in the area here. And during that time, we began to work with international students from our local universities, and we're involved in international student ministry, and to see people from other countries interested in learning the Bible, hearing what the Bible has to say, was an encouragement for us in our beginning stages of ministry. At that same time, we were involved in a Japanese ministry in the community, and we had some helpers from Word of Life, Japanese students studying the Bible, studying ministry, come and help us in trying to reach the Japanese community. Although few and far between in this area, it was a really good time of encouragement and training for us as we began to think about ministry in Japan. I mentioned earlier that some of those people, God used that time in their life to train them and call them and encourage them to do ministry in Japan. And we're still keeping in touch with some of those people who are who helped us 20 years ago here in this church through the Japanese ministry to continue to serve the Lord to reach Japanese people in Japan. After we finished seminary, we applied for a short-term missions program through the International Mission Board. And we had a wonderful experience of working together with senior missionaries in the city of Shizuoka in Japan. And that was our adjustment period, getting used to Japanese life and Japanese ministry. And we enjoyed those years of being fully supported to spend our time and energy dedicated to the ministry and sharing the gospel and teaching and training the church to do the same. And that time was for about 3 years. And after that period ended, we began to look around where God would call us to next and how we would be able to support ourselves. Coming from one mission field of New York to go to another mission field of Japan, it's very hard to ask for support from a church that itself is the mission field. And so we felt that God had called us to go and that God would provide for us. So we began to look for opportunities to go to Japan as tent makers. Paul made tents when he was an apostle, when he was doing ministry. He made tents and apparently sold them. I'm not sure if any of you want a tent this morning, but I might have a couple. But working with your hands to provide support for yourself to allow you to do ministry in Japan. And that's the path that we felt God had called us to. So we began to work with the church hand in hand and started an English school there. This morning in Sunday school time, we shared a lot more in depth. I'm sorry we can't repeat all that this morning, but probably it would be take too much time. But we wanted to take some time and share a little bit of our story and what we're doing there. So Japan is the second largest unreached people group in the world. So you think of all the mission fields. When you say mission field, what comes to your mind? Usually Africa or China or some poor country. One of the richest and most prosperous countries in the world is also the largest mission field in the world. That means out of all the people that you meet 200 people, maybe one of those might say that they're a Christian. They say 0.3 to 0.5% of Japanese people consider themselves a believer and attend. 0.2% attend an evangelical church. There's very few Christians in Japan. But mission work was once again revived after the war. Waves of missionaries went to Japan. And people were saved, and we say they achieved critical mass, a group of people gathered together that could be gathered together as a church. That church didn't grow as it should. And so the church aged 50 years since then, 60 years since then. And those people that were reached through the missionary are beginning to die, pass away. And those Japanese believers and the Japanese churches have not been successful in continuing to reach Japan in any meaningful way. So the Japanese church is aging and dying. The average age of the pastor is in his 60s or older, and there are more pastors over 80 than there are under 30 in Japan. And there's a real need for the next generation of pastoral leadership and young people to build and sustain the church. Japan is also known as the missionary graveyard. Japan is an easy country to live in, but a very difficult country to see success, to see results, to see fruit. And so missionaries become discouraged and come home. Or supporting churches say, "Hey, what are you doing over there? We're supporting you, but nothing is going on." And they say, "We're going to put our money elsewhere." And so Japan has become known as a missionary graveyard. Just this morning, as we were singing and worshiping this morning, I came to tears because thinking of, I don't know whether it's me thinking of what I want to see this in Japan, or whether it's I miss this in Japan. The potential, the possibilities of people gathered together as a church, and the potential for people to love and encourage and speak truth to each other, help each other to grow in their faith. You have a great opportunity here, and I wish this for Japan as well. Churches, believers gather together and have great opportunity. I hope you take advantage of it. I hope that you realize the great blessing you have here, and I hope you take full advantage of each other in your spiritual life, spiritual walk, And so Japan is a place of great need. It's a place of despair, both among Japanese people, but among Japanese Christians, feeling that things are not going anywhere. Missionaries feel down, discouraged, and it's difficult to know where to begin. But I have something encouraging this morning, and that's my wife's testimony. She'd like to share with you her testimony. But in Japan, our goal is to engage with unbelievers in the community, have opportunities to share with them, primarily through English, but also just through our everyday life, to meet unbelievers who are open to the gospel, share the gospel with them. We hope and pray that they would be saved and that they would reach their own community of people. Second thing we try to do is we try to empower churches and believers to be an effective witness for Christ. And third, we encourage, hope to provide opportunities for people to come and to serve in Japan, just as we have. And those are the things that we try to do. So we're primarily involved in two ministries right now. One is our English school, which we teach English classes and look for opportunities to share the gospel with the people that we come into contact with. We teach from babies to adults, and the babies learn better than the adults do. But we use that as an opportunity to meet people and share the gospel with people. And through our English school is also hosted by a local church, and it's an extension of their ministry that we cooperate with them. The second thing that we have been doing for the last 2.5 years is working at the local church's English bilingual preschool. So for 50 years, the church has used this preschool as an opportunity to meet young families and take care of their children, teach children the gospel, but also seek to reach these young families for Christ. So we're involved in that as well. We have just found a young teacher to come and help us in our ministry there. And so it opens up new opportunities for us to explore new avenues of ministry. So God has provided young hands to come and help, and we're praying about what God would have us, what direction God would have us to work in the future. So we would appreciate your prayer as we seek to find new opportunities to develop new relationships and share the gospel with people. My wife is going to give her testimony this morning about how God used the place where we are working now in her own life to reach her with the gospel.
おはようございます。
Wow, it's pretty good. Thank you for giving me opportunity to share a little bit about what I've been doing and also how I came to this point. And for the past few years, I've been working at a Christian kindergarten that Ben was talking about. And I never thought I would be teaching or working with children, but God has had a plan for me, and I am so blessed every day to work with children. And this kindergarten is called Hikari no Sono, and that means the garden of light. And it's very special for me because as a child, I also attended this kindergarten. That's where I first met Jesus. So it is really it's been a really blessing to me. And I was born and raised in Japan, and my grandmother is a dedicated Buddhist. And so as a family, we practiced Buddhist events and rituals and teaching. I was my grandmother was teaching Buddhist teaching, and I grew up watching my grandmother chanting and praying in front of the family altar, I still don't know why, but when I was 3 years old, my parents put me into this Christian kindergarten, which was established by a missionary, and so at the kindergarten, I was learning about Jesus and what the Bible says, and also learned English from the missionary. And but at home, I was following Buddhist teaching. And my grandmother used to tell me, if I do bad things, in my next life, I will reincarnate into hideous animal and suffer. For the next life, I will suffer. So as a child, I was very confused. I had both teaching and at the same time, I was very scared because I knew in my heart I was not good. I already done so many bad things, especially to my siblings. And I knew I was not good. So I was so scared. But after graduating from the kindergarten, I went to public elementary school, and I occasionally thought about what I learned in the kindergarten, but I was very busy with schoolwork, so I didn't really have a chance to go back to church or anything like that. But when I was 13 years old, I started learning English at school, and I really enjoyed learning about different cultures and especially about American culture, and I wanted to learn more. So my mom and I started looking for a place for me to study more English, but we couldn't find it anywhere. Everything was so expensive, we couldn't find anything. But one day my mom found an ad in a newspaper about English study group led by a missionary, the principal of my kindergarten. So the following Sunday, I joined the English group, and eventually I started attending morning service there, and this was the second time hearing the gospel. And this time, I clearly understood the sin in my heart and what Jesus has done for my sin, what Jesus has done on the cross for my sin. And I confessed my sin and asked Jesus to come into my heart and cleanse my heart. And I found hope and peace I just couldn't find in the Buddhist teaching. And after graduating from high school, I decided to go to college, and the missionary recommended me to go to America to study the Bible. And then I went to Tennessee Temple University, where I met Ben and his siblings. And during those college years, the Lord gave me a burden to go back to Japan and share the gospel to my own people. And I am so amazed to see how God guided me through the kindergarten and English to bring me to this point. And every morning I go into the classroom and work, and I see the faces of little children, and I see myself and as a child, and I pray that one day one of those days, these days, they will be sharing the gospel to their own people. And I want to remember how God delivered me from the darkness and brought me to the garden of light so I can be the light to, I can be the light to the people in darkness. So thank you for giving me this time, and thank you again for praying for us and supporting us. And it's really nice to see all of you, and it's nothing is better than seeing in person. And thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry.
How many of you like English? How many of you like teaching English? How many of you like teaching English basic grammar to children and adults every day, hours a day? Sometimes I think, what am I doing? How many of you like changing kids' diapers or making kids eat their lunch or disciplining kids when they're fighting with each other? I mean, these are the everyday things that we do. And sometimes I think, you know, what am I doing? You know, but then I look at my wife and I think of her story, and it encourages me to be faithful in doing the things that I don't necessarily enjoy, but being faithful in what's in front of me so that God can use that to reach people like her. I do pray for more and more opportunities to share the gospel with people, and I would love to be full-time in ministry sharing the gospel, but God hasn't opened that door up for us. God has allowed us to use our skills and our abilities to earn money to be there in Japan, to support believers, to support churches, support their ministry, to reach out to people in our community. It makes me not any different than you. That's what God has called you to do. You might love your job, you might hate your job, but God has put you in a place, God has put you among certain people to be that faithful witness in just the everyday things. And, you know, people call us missionaries, and we're going to a different land to share the gospel, and that way we are missionaries, but you all have those same opportunities and that same calling to be a witness in the faithful things that you do every day. I'd like to encourage you with that. I didn't know how much time I'd have, so I prepared about 5 different versions of my sermon. But Japan is a difficult place to do ministry. Like I said, it's a sea of lostness. And the church that was established is weakening and dying and may cease to exist as we know it. And Japan is known as the missionary graveyard. Fewer and fewer missionaries are going to Japan to share the gospel. So that's quite depressing, don't you think? Where do you start? I think, where do I start in a situation like this? And, you know, you think, where should I invest my time? It's a battle every day. You know, how much should I invest in reaching the lost? How much should I invest in supporting the churches that are struggling? How much should I invest in recruiting young people, young missionaries, old people, old missionaries to come to Japan and to help? But it's at that time that I'm reminded that when we don't know where to start, we need to go back to the basics. Sometimes my children, only my children, lose things in the house. And, you know, you turn over your house looking for all kinds of stuff, and our house is pretty small, so if you turn over something, you're putting it on top of something else. And I tell them, don't look for it. What you need to do when you're looking for something is not look for it and clean your house and you'll find it. We need to go back to the basics of being a believer, being a Christian. And in doing the basics, I believe the Bible teaches that we will be effective in our ministry. We will be fruitful. I have some passages, and I always say, what's the difference between a preacher and a teacher? A teacher makes you work, makes you do homework. And I had this homework prepared for you this morning, but I'll let you bring it home with you. We won't do it in class this morning. But I was going to ask you, what's the commonality of these passages? I'll read some of them to you, but we might just focus on one. I'll just remind, excuse me. I might just remind you of them this morning. Kind of jog your memory. I don't think we have time to read them all, but Matthew 5:13-16 says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In that same way, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Mark 9:50 is a parallel passage talking about salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how can you make it salty? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. He prunes every branch that produces fruit so it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because for you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. John 13:34-35 says, I give you a new command, love one another, just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Mark 4:13-20. Then he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away this word sown in them. These are the ones sown on rocky grounds. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves. They are short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately stumble. Others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the seduction of wealth, desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The one sown on good grounds are those who hear the word, welcome it, and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. We're talking about our effectiveness as believers, our fruitfulness. Where does fruit come from? Where does our saltiness come from? Where does the light that we shine come from? How do we increase our effectiveness as believers in this age? What is the common theme in these verses? You want me to tell you? What is the common theme in these verses? The common theme is believers are healthy, maturing, growing in Christ, growing to become like Christ, loving each other, challenging each other, building each other up, focused on ourselves, focused on being the kind of Christian that we should be. And when you do that, you become salt and light. You become the fruit-bearing tree. You become the ground that results in 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. Where do I start when I want to be a good missionary, when I want to be a good witness, when I want to be a good evangelist, when I want to see people saved in Japan? The answer is, I start here, and I start here. Maybe my favorite passage is this last one, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, let's look at this one together. Acts 2, 41 to 47. This is the story of the early church and the great multiplication, the addition and multiplication of believers in the early church. I'll read from verse 41. Before this, chapter 1 talks about Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming down to the believers that were there, the apostles, the chosen, the apostles, and the group of believers that had followed Jesus, and the Holy Spirit coming down. And then the apostles began preaching and speaking the gospel and the message of Christ. Verse 41, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. 3,000 people in one day. I would love to see that in Japan. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Then fear came over everyone. Many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and properties and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. The apostles had a powerful message, I'm sure. But this part here is not talking about the apostles. It's talking about the people who believed. What did they do? They focused on themselves. They dedicated themselves, dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And they practiced what they preached. They sold their goods to love their brothers and sisters in Christ who were in need. They gathered together. Every day, it says, they gathered together in the temple, from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I think, where do I start? Where do we start in Japan? Missionaries came, left a group behind. Where do we start as a church to be salt and light in our community? We start right here. We don't look out there. We look right here. We need to dedicate ourselves to the teaching of the word, to fellowship, to prayer, to each other, so that we can become like Christ. And it said, by doing this, the people on the outside, the people that were surrounding them, They had favor with those people. They looked at this group of believers. They said, something different is going on here. And then it says right after that, the Lord added to them those that were being saved. I think our calling is, of course, to go and preach the gospel. But many times, I think the best way to be fruitful is to be mature, growing, fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about each other. Focus on each other. And as a result of that, people will look at us and they'll see God working in us. It's not those strangers on the street. It's the people that are closest to you that don't believe. And I pray this for Japan. While we have time, while we have believers who are alive, we want to encourage them. Be the church that God has called us to be. And people will see that change in your heart, in your life, as you live like Christ. And people will take notice. And those people that are close to you, that's how the gospel spreads. It's not through the apostles. The apostles preached. I'm sure they were great preachers. But the multiplication came from the church being the true church and people being added to the church through the testimony of the believers. We are in Japan. We want to share the gospel with people, complete strangers, people we have no relationship with. We want to have opportunities to share with them. But I think the best growth in Japan, the best growth in America will come from not the evangelist who's good with words, but from the Christian who's living in a Christ-like way, in fellowship with the body of Christ. So I want to pray this for Japan and for America, that we can function as the true body of Christ and build each other up, encourage each other, strengthen each other, love each other, that the whole world would know that we are followers of Jesus. I appreciate your prayer and support for us and our work there in Japan. Sometimes it's discouraging. We don't know if what we're doing makes a difference. But I think last time I came, I mentioned Isaiah. Isaiah was sent as a prophet. And Isaiah asked God, how long do I have to do this? And God said, until the cities are in ruins, which means Isaiah, in spite of all his preaching, failed to turn the hearts of the people he was preaching to, and God's judgment came. It's just a reminder of me, how long do I have to do this and not see what I would love to see happen? And I hear God reminding me, it's not about the results, it's about your faithfulness in the work. So I know, watching from a distance, there's a lot of changes here. Pastor Zach was saying, in Japan, we're a few years ahead in a lot of things, in a lot of ways people think about the gospel and about truth. But I want to remind you that God has called us to be faithful. And we'll leave the rest up to Him. So please pray for us and pray for our work, and we'll continue to remember you all in our prayers as well. Thank you.